Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. Mackenzie Schirilla is making headlines again. If you saw The Crash on Netflix, you probably couldn't take your eyes off it. I was just mesmerized by that documentary, mostly because of her interview from prison. It is rare that you see an inmate, a female inmate, fully made up with a beehive bun. And so incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? Remorseless? Like, I know she said she has lots of remorse, lots and lots of remorse. But when you have to ask someone off camera, did I do what I needed to do, say what I needed to say? Those are my words. But effectively, that's kind of how her interview ended, right? Then you sort of know what the premise was all along. I need to sell a story. Did I do it? Anyway, Mackenzie Schirilla, if you don't know, is a young woman who at 17 drove her car into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour and killed two people in her car. One was her boyfriend and one was her friend. And she opted for a bench trial when she was charged. And by the way, she was charged with, let me read the list, murder, two counts, right? Sorry, 4 counts of murder, 2 counts of aggravated vehicular homicide, 1 count of felonious assault, drug possession, and possessing criminal tools. It's a lot of really bad charges. But she opted to be tried by the bench. It's called a bench trial. She opted to be tried by a judge and not a jury of her peers. You have the choice. It's your constitutional right to be tried by a jury of your peers, but if you don't think your peers are going to like you, you might just want to really, really finagle the law and go right for the judge alone. And that's what they decided to do. It didn't go well. She lost, and she's serving 15 to life, and she is still trying to profess her innocence, and so are her parents. In this episode, I am going to interview Chris Cuomo, which is fun because he's a former colleague of mine. We worked together at CNN. We worked together at ABC. We worked together at News Nation. Chris is a lawyer. He is an incredible litigator. He's a very good interviewer. He's got a brand new true crime podcast called Cuomo Crime Time, and as part of this big new launch into this, you know, true crime space, he's done a really good interview with Mackenzie Schirilla's parents. I think a lot of you have felt very strongly about how the parents have defended Mackenzie, and to the point where they have almost forgotten about the two victims in this case who died. There are parents out there who no longer have their kids, right? Not just kids in jail, right? They don't have kids. And so Mackenzie's parents have really taken it on the chin for being kind of, you know, tone deaf. Their names are Natalie and Steve Schirilla, and I want to play for you some of the interviews that Chris Cuomo has conducted with Natalie, but also with Steve. And he did this over the course of a few days, but it's just sort of interesting to hear their take. Again, given all the facts that have come out in the case, I don't have to relitigate the case for you. I think you already know it. By the way, if you haven't seen it, you've got to watch the Netflix story called The Crash. But here are some of the really interesting moments from Chris Cuomo's conversation with the Schirillas.
What do people have? Look, I know this is hard for you, and I know you keep catching yourself talking about her in the past tense, and that triggers this paroxysm of pain for you because your daughter's not dead, but the life she had is no more, and I get how hard that is for you. And I sympathize with you on that, and I understand it.
Well, a part of me is not crying just because of that, okay? A part of me is just crying because her friends, people that actually know who we are, know the truth. They know who she is. And the image that has been painted of her through storytelling, all this other things, it's not wholly accurate. It's unfortunate.
So part of that is the relationship with Dom. Mm-hmm. How did you see that? How did you see what are seen as radical ups and downs?
Oh, this is going to like super make me cry. But one of my favorite things to do with Mackenzie and Dom was talk to them about their relationship. We spent a lot of time together doing everything. We went on vacation together. Where there was one, the other was there too. So, you know, they were together for 4 years and they were together the 4 years in a real pivotal time of their age where they were trying to figure life out and who they were. And actually, I'm going to show you a text message that I sent to Dom. We were very, very, very close. And one of my favorite things to do was help them navigate through their relationship. Yeah.
Did you believe at the time that the vagaries of their relationship, the drama, was within the realm of normal, or did you see it as a toxic relationship?
No, I didn't see it as a toxic relationship because we did spend so much time together every single day. He was either sleeping here, she was sleeping there. He would come over and make dinner. They made homemade pasta and steaks. So there was none of that. Like, I knew that she was going to be, that he was going to take care of her, like keep her safe. And he was very protective of her. Mm. And then I also knew that she was protecting him. So in person, I know it sounds toxic in the text messages, but there's no context for those. That's not who they were. And one of the things I always tell people is who Dom looks like on paper. Is not who he was to me. So what they look like on paper, it's not who they were. It's just not who they were. They were very close. They loved each other fiercely. They were very cute together. They took care of each other. They wore matching outfits. They timed their day around each other. They made sure that they had each other's food. He cared about her health, and he was trying to work on her. She has POTS, so he was trying to figure out her POTS and her diet and stuff. So they were very cute together. There's no context in those text messages. That was just them trying to figure out how to work through these situations that they had building up, but that's not who they were. I know it's what it looks like, but that's not who they were.
The next point of perspective is what people have seen on social media after the event and even after your daughter's incarceration. And it is an extension of this wild child, very self-indulgent, taking girlfriends or lovers in prison. It's all about feeding a picture of her as just all about her appetites. And again, extreme. How can you help people understand differently?
I can't, because anybody can say anything they want. Like, how can you stop people from saying things?
Well, you know? with different perspective and analysis. Like, yeah, she smoked weed, but you know, not every day, and she still went to school, and she said this, and she doesn't have girlfriends in prison. She's not fighting people in prison. She didn't stab someone in prison. You know, I mean, that's how.
Yeah. Well, that is how. So I can't speak on any of her activity in prison. She's not doing any of those crazy things people are saying. So what she's doing is she lays in her bed a lot. She colors, she draws, she paints things for people and their children. She's like super, super talented. She listens to music. She writes music. She journals a lot. She likes to watch movies and play board games. You know, she doesn't like drama, so she tries to avoid that. And if there is, then she's always the first one to extend the olive branch to whoever it is to move on from there, because she likes to bring people together. So
how do you explain what is reported as an unusual amount of misconduct tickets for violating prison rules.
Thank you for that. So contraband isn't like drugs. It just means that you have something that's not on your vault list. So let's say you have, I don't know, five things with you when they go and do like their searches or something. Then that's five tickets, five separate tickets, because you have somebody, you know, she, like for instance, she had to go to work in the morning and she didn't want to miss going to work. So she used her friend's alarm clock, wasn't on her vault list. So that would be considered contraband. So that's one. Then if you have somebody's pillow or like an extra blanket, that's two tickets. So that's three right there, just in the same situation. So, and then the other one, so that's contraband. It doesn't mean drugs. It just means you have something that doesn't belong to you. It could be food, it could be literally anything. But, and then if you have multiple things, each individual item is one thing. So that could add up. And then the other one would be like the misuse of medication. She thought, you know, she was worried about her health. So she just wanted to take it was a prenatal vitamin because she just wanted to make sure that she was getting, she must not have felt good and wanted to make sure she was getting enough of the nutrients. So she took somebody's prenatal vitamin. But
were some of the tickets as reported for sexually explicit video calls with an ex-inmate?
Well, that I can't speak on. You know, all I can say to that is she's in her early 20s. I don't know anything more about that. Or the only thing I can say is now that you know what the rules are, you got to follow the rules. That's the other thing I always tell my kids, like, no matter where you go in life, everybody has a different set of rules you have to follow. I have rules at our house. You have rules at your house. They have different rules. Like wherever you go, those are the rules you have to follow. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't know what the rules are until we do. And then when you do, then follow them.
Something you can speak to directly is when people hear you have explanations for innocent kinds of tickets, but you say you know nothing about the kind of ticket that would inform people about the nature of her personality, it becomes suspicious of your credibility. Do you understand that?
Hmm? Yes. No, this, well, I can't talk on the sex ticket thing. I mean, I'm sure we've all had spicy conversations with our friends and people. So I can't really speak to that. What I can speak on is that none of her tickets are aggressive or violent. You know, she's got extra stuff that doesn't belong to her, like food, pillows, blankets, alarm clocks. You can get a sex ticket, by the way, just for hugging somebody else, which is unfortunate because those girls are going through all terrible times. And, you know, if you want to hug your, I don't know, but right.
People point to, oh yeah, she loved Dom so much that she got a girlfriend as soon as she went to jail. Is that fair?
No, because what they're missing, she didn't go right to prison right after the car accident. So the car accident was July 31st. Okay. She was in the juvenile facility for almost a year after that. Okay. Then county for a couple of weeks and then went to Marysville. So there was a long time between. I mean, and people, you know, we do got to move on at some point, right?
She's got a big heart. And as her father, there is no way that my daughter crashed that car on purpose to hurt Dominic or Davion. It is an absolute story narrated by the prosecution. It's not true. It never has. And there's no evidence, zero evidence to support any of that.
There is evidence that we can discuss if you want. It's interesting. You leave your daughter out of that equation. Do you think there's a chance she crashed into that school to hurt herself?
No, not at all. Not one bit. Not one bit. She loved life.
Your daughter was not suicidal.
Not at all. Not at all. We even had somebody do a, after the crash, did a like a suicide test on her or a questionnaire with her. And that person said that she was not suicidal. And if my daughter was suicidal, my wife would know. And if my wife talked with my daughter about everything. My daughter told my wife everything. There's no way she wasn't suicidal before. She's not suicidal after. That is an absolute fabrication. It's a lie.
Okay, so I had so many questions for Chris Cuomo about this interview, but also about the case and about us, people who are really passionate about true crime, either in it or following it, and then the outliers, the people who there's just no way you'll convince them one way or the other, even in the face of hard, fast evidence that some people actually did the thing they're accused of doing. I'm talking Koberger and all the people out there who support him, even though he did it, that awful thing. Anyway, it's a really good conversation with Chris just about this whole idea of true crime and, by the way, how it really unites us. Here's my chat with Chris Cuomo.
Your vehicle doesn't just get you from here to there. It's a bridge to the people and places that matter most. It's how you show up for your family, your community, and everyone else that depends on you. That's why for 125 years, Firestone has been building tires with one thing in mind: to deliver products that are as reliable as you are. Firestone, always dependable since 1900.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero pain au chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Knix, that's K-N-I-X, leak-proof underwear, is made for real life. Because when your day is already full, your underwear shouldn't be something you have to think about. Knix gives you reliable leak-proof protection that fits seamlessly into your routine. For periods, for light bladder leaks, for workouts, for everyday freshness. Knix leak-proof underwear comes in a range of absorbencies, from light to ultra. So if you need a little backup or all-day protection, there's a pair for you. Unlike bulky protection, Knix feels barely there with soft fabrics, moisture-wicking layers, and anti-odor technology that keeps you feeling fresh and confident. Wear them to work, running errands, traveling, even overnight. Plus, they're machine-washable, so you can wear them again and again. Find your perfect level of protection at knix.com and get 15% off with code FLOW15. That's knix.com, code FLOW15. That's knix.com.
Chris Cuomo, great to have you on Drop Dead Serious. Nice backdrop.
Thank you. Home to home. I'm so happy for your success. You are so important to this space. It's great to see you thrive. I know you've got so much more to do, but I'm happy to see it as somebody who's loved watching you work for a long time. So congrats. It's good to see you again.
Oh, right back at you. I'm thrilled that you're doing the true crime stuff now. And what a way to kick it. I mean, doing the interview with the Shirillas. This is one of those stories, Chris, where I think you said it best once when you said, there's nothing that brings America together more than stories like this.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, look, especially now, I mean, you know, in America, we're so divided on everything. That at least we accept the process here, the investigation, the trial. You may like it, you may not like it, you may see things and not see things. We all know it's not perfect, but at least it's right and wrong and not right and left. So you've got a shot. And the Shirilla case is an interesting example of how this melding of culture and ethics and morals and all this stuff comes together in this one story.
I have become very controversial on this story, and I really am surprised by this because I'm not questioning who did this or who's criminally responsible for it. Obviously, it's Shirilla. That there's no question about it. I'm just saying the prosecution's case on motive makes no sense, because for it to make sense, and the juror and the judge found it made sense real quick too, you have to believe she was suicidal. I do not believe she was suicidal. I do not believe she is suicidal. So if she's not suicidal and she wasn't suicidal, then how did she intend to kill herself and them? So it's just never made sense. So then I started looking at it more, because it's one of those cases where it's right outcome, wrong rationale. Okay. So, but that frustrates me. And then once I talked to the father, I realized this was totally botched. And again, I'm not saying she's not criminally responsible. Of course she is. And I'm not surprised it was bound over, by the way. I understand why she was tried as an adult on this. I do. But there were real mistakes made here by their lawyers that absolutely made this worse for their child. There's no question in my mind.
The interesting thing, I think, for so many people, though, is the question of impulsivity. And people who are young can be extraordinarily impulsive. And mm-hmm. if they give you reason to believe in, say, I don't know, a few weeks before that you have an intention to do something like crash this car with you in it, I feel like it's pretty hard to get past that.
Obviously, because the judge took her out 1, 2, 3. They also gave a judge the opportunity to do that, thinking that this was going to be a data-driven trial, a forensic-driven trial, and it wasn't. Look, I believe the lawyer didn't argue the context of those texts well, because there are other texts that he had access to or should have that show Dom, these are teenagers in a volatile relationship, okay? And she has a dose of cuckoo, and I don't know that Dom did, but he decided to be with someone with a dose of cuckoo. And he said a lot of crazy things to her, too. In this scenario with the car, with the grabbing the wheel, there was stuff that Dom did also that would feed this idea of instability. So it wasn't just her craziness and her violent tendencies. I think he didn't argue it well, to be honest. He barely argued it at all.
When you get these explosive, you know, true crime stories like the Mackenzie Shirilla story, and then you add, I guess, fuel to the fire with Netflix and parents who are very outspoken, and it feels as though they don't do themselves any justice. I wonder how you felt having this conversation with Mrs. Shirilla and Mr. Shirilla, and whether you think they're doing any favors to their daughter.
I don't think they have any choice, because they've got to help their kid, right? I mean, that's just the parent's mandate. I think that their way of helping her is going to wind up shifting from trying to get her out of prison to helping her deal with making it through and what she becomes after it. Because I do not see any real likelihood of appeal, even though I do believe she had ineffective counsel. So do they help themselves? Do they not? In the Netflix thing, absolutely not. But I think they were set up. I think that that story was going to be very obvious from jump, which is looks one way, turns out it's another. And I think that the narrative won out over what was probably the most balanced assessment of the situation.
Listen, it's really hard. If you're a parent, anybody watching would say you would do anything for your child. And yet the parents of Mackenzie Shirilla have been so vilified. Do you think that, let's just go to the decision to have a bench trial. Do you think that was really their urging, or do you think this was a lawyer that gave maybe bad advice?
Yep. I don't think they know what they're talking about. They know better now, but I think they had two things going against them. One, they were overwhelmed out of their depth. Okay. And two, they were witnesses for the prosecution. So they weren't really in there and watching it in real time because of their the rules of when a witness can be there and when they can't. And this lawyer, and look, I don't mean to condemn the guy. I welcome him on the show. We've reached out to him numerous times. I understand why he doesn't want to come on. If I were he, I probably wouldn't want to either. But it was a bad decision. I understand why he made the decision. He thought a judge will be more understanding of the incompleteness of the data. The problem with that argument is not just the convenience of my saying with hindsight, you were wrong, but the data is a slam dunk. Like the father kept arguing to me, Chris, it's just 4 seconds. Do you know how long 4 seconds is, accelerating from 50 to 100 miles an hour? You know what I mean? People run 40 yards in 5 seconds. You know what I mean? So that's a lot of time. And that's a fundamental misunderstanding of what a judge absolutely saw right away. There is no evidence that she did anything but accelerate. That's a bad set of facts for you. So what do you have to argue? Why didn't she do anything? Why? Because she was suicidal and wanted to kill herself and someone else spontaneously and then never wanted to kill herself again? The only suicidal person who gets over it after the mass tragedy? I never heard of that before. What I have heard of is someone who's high out of her mind, mentally a little off. And the missing link is, one, they didn't argue diminished capacity. And two, she says she doesn't remember anything, which is not easy to believe. It's possible, as we both know. Medically, it happens, but unsatisfying, well, let's say.
It's possible more when you're hammered. But if you're a habitual marijuana user, and she had used marijuana before many times and driven many times, and then nothing like this ever happened, so it's a little harder to believe.
Yeah.
But I also just think that the kind of person Mackenzie Schirilla seems to be, I don't know her, but I sure don't like what I see in images and Facebook and Instagram and photographs and what people say about her and the things that she said and the audio tapes that we've heard. I mean, just somebody who a few months after this horrendous thing happened dresses up as a corpse for Halloween. I don't think you have any shot at getting any sympathy from anyone.
Yeah, I think she does dumb things. Look, we've both seen a lot of adults who know better, who should know better, who have people telling them better, do stupid things to act out. Because why? Well, there's a narcissism sometimes. For her, I think that there's an ignorance and a youth to it. And again, I'm not saying any of this by way of excuse, just by way of explanation. I didn't want to talk to her parents because I think she didn't do it. I didn't want to talk to them because I think she shouldn't have been convicted. That's not what I'm saying. Could I make an argument that this is a manslaughter case? Yes. Why? I don't believe there's beyond a reasonable doubt case to be made that she was suicidal. And you can't try to kill, have the intent to kill yourself and others, which is what this charge is, when I don't believe she wanted to die. Well, and again, that doesn't mean I think she's innocent. She's not innocent. She's guilty. The question is, of what?
Of what? Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, obviously there's a public relations effort. Her parents are speaking publicly. They're defending her, trying to mount an appeal with new evidence of text messages, et cetera. Yeah. Where does that stand, by the way?
That's, you nailed it. They believe that the texts create context, but they don't. Because the only element of the crime they go to is not an element of the crime, which is motive. The shit we care about most in the true crime space does not have a place at trial. Juries want to hear about motive, as we know. But in investigations, you do means, motive, and opportunity. Those are the three boxes you're looking to check with a suspect. At trial, it's just actus reus, mens rea. It's just the mindset. Did you have the requisite mindset? Did you mean to do this the way we need you to for it to be this crime? It's not why you meant it. The jury wants to hear why. They did not get to hear why here, except from the prosecution side, which I think was very compelling, but stilted and not well defended.
I was very, just sort of taken aback when I watched Mackenzie Schirilla's interview in prison with the updo. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't know where you get makeup and hair like that in prison, but my God, she's got some friends behind bars who helped her out. And I, you know, again, it's just sort of like this inability to understand your environment when you show up in a prison interview with a beehive and fabulous eyeliner. But more importantly, and I think this is where you as a lawyer would have caught this right away. She's asking off camera to someone if she's hit all the right check boxes on this interview. And now I'm not doing it justice. Right. I'm basically saying, you know, she effectively was trying to check boxes in this interview and then wanted to find out if she'd done the right job by asking her guide off camera.
Terrible. 10% ignorance, 90% arrogance. Horrible. Just horrible. you know, I mean, that was fucking horrible, which is what, excuse my language, but it was over as soon as that happened. It's over. Yeah. It's over. You know, I mean, like, imagine if you were sitting in that chair across from her, even though I don't think that series was set up to be fair to her. And I understand that. I understand what it is as a narrative device. But all you would have said is, wait, what? What are you asking him for? Right. What are you asking that for? What boxes do you want to check? Is it the truth or is it not the truth? And the only thing I'll give her, which the both parents argue very vehemently, and I get it, and they're not wrong, is, Cuomo, you seem very suspicious of her not remembering anything that night. And I'm like, I am suspicious. I know it's possible, but it's unsatisfying. And they hit me with the obvious, which is, wouldn't she make it up then to save her herself? Wouldn't she make something up? And that's a good point, especially if she's who they say she is. She should have made up a story and she should have testified. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to whether it's just she doesn't remember or she started that way and doesn't want to change it. I did ask them, why don't you get her hypnotized? Why don't you see if something can come back? And they said, well, it's not admissible in court. That's not true. That's not true. It doesn't matter how she gets a new recollection. But if she does get a new recollection and a prosecutor believes it's somehow instructive or a judge, then you do a habeas motion. Habeas corpus motion, federal law, you have the body, meaning what? That you get a chance to go to court to argue you're being unlawfully detained still. And the explanation would be a justification excuse that somebody grabbed the wheel. I just remembered. Now, would they buy it? I doubt it. But that's the one part, you know, the suicidality and her not testifying are huge question marks for me, not because I don't think she did it. I just don't think we got the truth of what really happened and why.
I think what's so fascinating is when people decide to go public and litigate through Netflix, I'm not sure if they realize that this is public record that comes back to you in any kind of retrial you may be seeking. I don't know what your thoughts are on whether the Shirilla family has a hope in hell of having this trial result thrown out, because you know those prosecutors will retry her. Do you think they have a shot?
No.
Real value shows up in reliability. You don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero pain au chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Knix, that's K-N-I-X, leak-proof underwear, is made for real life. Because when your day is already full, your underwear shouldn't be something you have to think about. Knix gives you reliable leak-proof protection that fits seamlessly into your routine. For periods, for light bladder leaks, for workouts, for everyday freshness. Knix leak-proof underwear comes in a range of absorbencies, from light to ultra.
So if you need a little backup or all-day protection, there's a pair for you. Unlike bulky protection, Nyx feels barely there with soft fabrics, moisture-wicking layers, and anti-odor technology that keeps you feeling fresh and confident. Wear them to work, running errands, traveling, even overnight. Plus, they're machine washable, so you can wear them again and again. Find your perfect level of protection at knix.com and get 15% off with code FLOW15. That's knix.com, code FLOW15. That's nyx.com.
No, I don't.
Simple as that.
And do I think that's wrong? To our original point, no, because you had the process. You had the process. And by the way, you did it, by the way. You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, it's still a whodunit and, you know, you just the wrong person. You're a 5'10", 160-pound, 18-year-old black guy. You know what I mean? That's not what this is. You did it. You gave good reason for suspicion of your motives with your texts and your behavior and everything else and the way you dealt with the case. You're a lawyer, and that's on you, ultimately. You know, I can be a totally shitty lawyer and make 100 bad calls. I'm still your lawyer, Ashley Banfield, and you're the one who's going to pay the price for it. You know, and ineffective counsel is common to argue and very rarely successful, and it wasn't successful here on appeal.
Yeah, because ineffective assistance of counsel doesn't mean, oh, I didn't, this guy really stunk. It means they've actually made terrible, egregious errors.
And I had a case where a guy fell asleep for a majority of the trial as the attorney.
Wow.
And they appealed on ineffective counsel and lost because the judge said, well, he woke up during the parts that mattered. So it's hard to win it.
Yeah, that's brutal. I would argue that is ineffective assistance of counsel.
Yeah, me too.
Somebody literally isn't conscious.
Yeah, me too. But it just shows you how high the bar is, you know?
Yeah, and I've seen cases where the counsel himself has thrown himself on the sword for his client, saying, I was the ineffective one.
Yes.
She's innocent, and it actually did prevail. So it's a super interesting area of the law, and I'm always super fascinated with people who do mount that. But the audience should know, just because you have a shitty lawyer doesn't mean you have ineffective assistance of counsel. Yeah. You just got to choose your lawyers wisely.
And unlike what we deal with in our politics, you had due process. You had it. And you lost. And then you tried again. And the Supreme Court of the state said no. And now you're trying the federal route, which you are allowed to do. And the chances of success are very, very low. For no other reason is you did it. Now, again, do I think it's the right crime? No, I don't. Do I feel zealous about it? No, I don't. Why? Because it doesn't really leave us in a different place in terms of the sentencing anyway, in my opinion. I think if it were a manslaughter case, I don't think it's what the parents think, which is just it's a horrible accident. I don't think the case is there beyond a reasonable doubt that it was an accident. I think that it's much more likely that there was intent here, recklessness at a minimal. That's what I think the right charge was. That's what I think the right case was manslaughter.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Do you remember Jack Ford? Jack Ford.
Very well.
Oh, such a great guy. I worked with him at Court TV for 5 years. He effectively was my law professor. He teaches law at Yale. He was an anchor on Good Morning America on the Today Show. So he's just that very well-rounded man who explains everything in the most clear and concise and pristine way. And I learned so much from Jack Ford. He once told me something that really stuck with me, and it was that people will come out of half of a courtroom will come out of a courtroom and say, I didn't get justice. And it's wrong to say that, because you got justice. It just wasn't the result you wanted or that
it's the process. See, it's the process.
Exactly.
And that's why I love this. And that's why that's really the full statement. That's why I love it, because it's so much more satisfying than our politics. And yes, justice isn't blind. And yes, they get it wrong. And yes, it's unfair. And yes, it is a two-tiered system that is highly reflective of our society overall. Yes, yes, yes. But it is still better than the other two branches. And, you know, do I think it's slipping? Yeah, at the federal level, there's some slippage. The judges are just outright political appointees now, ideologically as well as operatively. obviously they're judicial appoint, you know, they're appointments because that's how the Constitution works, but they are like the Supreme Court. There's no question that the justices should talk about their politics, actually, because the idea that they don't come into play is
it's crazy.
Cuckoo. That's yeah. a cuckoo idea. It can't be that when you put me on the court, I just happen to rule most of the time in line with your politics. And when I don't, it's so rare that we know the names of the justices who don't. So I just think that this happened after Robert Bork.
Yeah, how many decisions have we seen along ideological lines right afterwards? I know. But
all
I will
of them.
Say this. I know. I remember there was a time I went to cover Iraq right before America went in 2003. And I went into the old CNN offices, the NBC offices that were covered in dust. It was like a time capsule from when, you know, folks took off. And Saddam Hussein wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't meet with me. But Tariq Aziz would. And so did some of his other ministers. And one of his other ministers forced me to have lunch with him and then made me pay the bill and said, now, if you don't report the way I like, you'll become a permanent guest. And I took it very seriously because Saddam used to take other people permanent guests a lot. He did it back in 1991 to the little kid and all those Americans that were surrounding him. And I remember thinking right then and there, I don't care how bad justice is back home.
Better than this.
It is way better than anything that happens here because this guy means business. He truly will hold me here forever with probably no charge if I don't speak, you know, highly of his leader. So let me ask you, because we're going into politics and I always try to stay out of that.
Get out of it. Get out of it.
Oh, I know. I'm so happy to be out of it. But
you
I do
you
want
look
to ask
better.
You about, I want to ask you about all the movements that happen with like people who are so untowards, like the Casey Anthonys of the world and now the Mackenzie Shirillas. There's these free Mackenzie cadre of society. What do you make of the folks that just kind of come, even the Kohlbergers? He's got some pro burgers.
Yeah,
like,
Mangione.
Right? Boy, there's one. But what do you make of this kind of area of true crime that's developed when all the facts support the reality and the truth, and then you just have these outliers?
It's a great, great question. And it's a conundrum. Very real, what you're talking about. And accelerating. Why? I identify several things. One, there is a cottage industry of clickbait. So there's just a market to be made in saying crazy things about whatever is in the news. And the algorithms reward you for it. So there's that. Two, we have a real breakdown of trust. Everybody believes everything's a conspiracy because things keep wind up being not what they were told us to be. There's that. And we amplify, because of social media, we magnify minority voices in a way that we didn't used to. So there have always been these kooky people. You and I would always get the letters from the prisoner or, you know, the crazy letter, you know, with the weird writing, with the, you know, the 10 pages handwritten on loose leaf.
They usually ask me about my feet.
Really? Not me. And I apologize for asking you about your feet. You don't have to bring it up every time I see you. So... You know, there's so it's like a combination of these factors that have gone into it. But I also think we're in a little bit of a sticky spot right now. People don't believe things. And there is, you know, I saw once an expression, skepticism is a form of intelligence, but it is the lowest form of intelligence. And when you say, look, I've been reporting on this for, you know, 6 months now. And think, I don't know, Ashley. I don't know. Yeah, I know you don't know because you haven't been reporting on it for 6 months. And I just told you where it has led me to. And these are the options of where we're at. And I don't know. I don't know. I think may not have been.
Not buying it.
Yeah. I think Mangione may have been set up by the deep state.
And, I saw one headline. You know. And now I know. I'm pretty much sure I know the story. Yeah.
So no, I think all of that is working against us. But it's also why you're such a precious commodity. You know what I mean? You bring an expertise, right? That, you know, is a function of time, experience, contacts, right? And intelligence. And that's really important in a space that can be so deceptive so easily.
Yeah. And we read these cases, you know, like last night I was open, I was one eye open reading one of these cases until 2:30 in the morning. And I realized it's 2:30 in the morning and I can't keep one eye open. It's time to go to bed. But that's sort of it's what we do because we really like it. Like we kind of live these things, you know, it's sort of a weird thing, but for that reason, I have decided I can add opinion, and I do, and I am forthright about the fact that here is my opinion about this case. And if I were on a jury or if I were litigating this, I would feel this way, you know?
I think it's a must,
as long as we're clear that it's an opinion, you know?
I think it's a must because, look, so much of it is opinion. It's based on what? What is it based on? You know, people always criticize journalists and say, oh, I don't know how objective you are. What human being is objective about something that isn't completely quantifiable? Two plus two is four, always. Yes, I've seen the Instagram clips of the guys who say math isn't infinite. I'm not that smart. That's a quantifiable thing. We know what day it is today. Okay, that's why in the law, what do they have? Judicial notice, which is what? We just accept that this is a fact. It was Monday, you know, that day of that month was that day. That's what it is. This is what time the sun rose in New York on that day. Judicial notice. Everything else is subjective. We are subjective. So I think that where we have arrived in the media in general, whether it's this or politics or business or whatever the space, just be transparent. I hate this guy. I want you to know that. But I think it's good that he's challenging this company or whatever it is. Whatever the issue is, just be transparent because everybody thinks you have a bias anyway. The standard is not objectivity. It's fairness.
Better to be
is Ashley fair, right? Is Ashley fair? I got to tell you, I really wanted to see this guy go down for this. But now I think they botched the investigation. You know, that's fairness. That's fairness. And that's what people want because they don't believe that you don't feel one way or the other about the Shirillas. Yeah. You know
everybody
what I mean?
Knows.
Some say. Yeah. Who's some? Who's they? Come on. It's you you're talking about, you know?
So speaking of that subjectivity, a lot of people have a specific opinion about Mackenzie and the sentence that she got and the fact that she will be out one day. Mackenzie herself apparently has told others about her concern that she's not going to be able to have a family and children of her own at some point in her life. And, you know, many people will say, boo fucking who.
Yeah.
But there will be that, right? Like she's created a zeitgeist in which she'll have to live when she's out. Fair or unfair?
Fair, my therapist says, is a four-letter word. So that's how it is. Do people get second acts? Yeah. I mean, look, she was 17 when this happened, okay? I have three specimens of that animal in my house. Two have transited through it. One is in it right now. Those are not fully formed human beings. They are not to be trusted and taken seriously with any kind of...
Oh, my God, I just let my boat to my 19-year-old boy, and you're saying this.
I mean, look, we both know that, like, there's a good chance he'll come back and not tie one of the lines. And you'll be like, did you know that the boat is bashing up against the bulkhead right now? Was it me? Yeah, it was. It was you.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. You're doing too much. You know, yeah, I got one of those in my house. I got one of those in my house. So... Yeah, do I give her that grace? Oh, 100%, 100%. The sentence is harsh. Why? Because it was a really harsh crime. And there was no need for this to have happened. Now, again, and I haven't even mentioned it yet.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Real value shows up in reliability. You don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero Pain au Chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
This lawyer did not effectively argue what really may have changed this case, which is the two parts that we've talked about, diminished capacity and the bench trial. But then this other one, they absolutely have medical records and testimony of her having this very remote medical condition called POTS, which is basically just a blood pressure induced dizziness on changing elevations. It really wasn't argued effectively. And they'll say, well, the lawyer said the judge wasn't buying it. Okay, but I still would have argued the hell out of it because I thought when I first started covering the case, they created as an excuse structure for the trial. But that's not what it is. Not the truth of it is she was diagnosed with it before the trial. And she has friends who will say, her mother told me, be careful if she starts like kind of zoning out and looking at you and then... It may be this, and don't catch her if she's falling because that makes it worse. I believe all that. It just wasn't argued effectively at the trial. Might it have changed the mind? In a jury? 100%. It might have. With this judge, maybe not. But it was not created for trial, Ashley. And I didn't know that from reading the trial record. And that is bad practice. Malpractice? Well, I don't know, but it's a bad practice.
You look at, I always go back to, I think the gold standard of that is the Casey Anthony trial. I mean, that thing looked like it was wrapped up when we all went in there, and along came a crazy concocted defense that Jose Baez put forward, and the jury bought it. So, yeah,
They overcharged, and they overexposed the father. And
well,
that makes it tough for a jury.
They jumped over a really big chasm in the prosecution as well. And that was like, moms don't usually stare down at their kids, put tape over their face and watch them die slowly. And that was like, they tried to get the jury to buy that. They should have just said, we don't know how, we just know it happened.
Right. But when you ask me to kill somebody, I don't want to have to own that when I feel that you didn't really nail it. Mm-hmm. I know she did. I know she had something to do with it, but maybe the father had something to do with it. And you want me to kill her. And I'm not comfortable with that. Like, I believe that. I mean, we know it. We know the jurors said it. And I get that. Death penalty, they've got to be not only beyond a reasonable doubt that you're guilty, but you are a real piece of shit.
Pretty little girls across the courtroom, it's hard to look them in the eye and think, I'm good to kill you. Real hard.
It's tough, especially when, I don't know, maybe the father did have something to do with it. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm not 100%. I don't know.
No, I'm 100%. George and Cindy, I've sat over a meal with those two, and not for a minute. No way, Jose. Nope.
You don't think one of them had something to do with the moving the body?
Nope. I sure don't. Those two were so crushed and destroyed by not only the loss of the child that they were really raising, honestly, and building beautiful little, you know, play structures in the backyard for this child, and they're living in their house with their daughter, who was a loser, you know.
Yeah.
And then the lies that Casey told to destroy them as well.
Yeah.
We digress. But it is interesting when we get to a Mackenzie Shirilla and you see the hubris. Everything else seems to fall away, like so little of the case and all the interesting arcane issues that you're mentioning, they fall away because people just don't like her.
And look, that's justice. That's justice. That's why we have a rule for it. You have jury nullification. Yep. And by the way, I had someone just come on my show the other day and ask for that with Luigi Mangione. And, you know, she said, I must say that anyone who's on the jury, you know, you can nullify. And yeah, you can. Why would you nullify in this case? Because healthcare companies suck? So you should shoot one of them in the head? And we have a lot of people in this country, probably more than you do in your country by percentage, by the way, is okay with that. They're okay with that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why this space matters. We got to talk, man. We got to conversate. Because people are getting really extreme with their feelings about things. And I think the next wave that we'll see in our space is the death penalty. I think the death penalty is going to come back. I can't believe Trump hasn't done more with it. I can't believe it. It's such a winner for him of harshness as strength. I think we should kill all these drug dealers. I think if you deal drugs, I think they should kill you. That's what you don't think a majority of the American people would be on board with it if you said it the right way?
I think 50%, but just right in line with where we are right now. But I'll tell you something else. Jack Ford, again, everything comes back to Jack Ford. He once told me he was in a courtroom and he thought he had done voir dire just perfectly. There's a little old lady on the panel and he's just about ready to, you know, approve her as one of his jurors. And then she mentioned something about the death penalty and how maybe it should be around for parking tickets.
You know, look, you never know, man. Voir dire is a really strange time with what kind of person you have on there and what they are in person versus what they are on paper. But, you know,
yeah.
A jury of your peers, you know, which we get from Greenland, is a system that was designed for you to be tried by people who knew you. And that's not what it is anymore. It's a group of people who may have absolutely no idea about what's going
on. Now it's just citizens. Literally, you don't have to be
who can't get out of it.
Sex, age, nothing. Just
it's just citizens who can't get out of it. It's just that.
And they shouldn't. It's
no,
a
shouldn't.
Great thing to do. I say it. I get on my soapbox all the time, Chris. I say, look, I've got a surefire way for you to get out of jury duty. You go down the street and you enlist in the services and you go over and you fight for your country. Now, I prefer to do my civic duty with a latte and sushi over lunch as a juror. But you go ahead and you go fight with a gun because you will get out of jury duty if you do that.
Yeah, that is true. And I think, look, everybody wants to say they're a patriot. Nobody wants to do the work. And, you know, that is a classic conflict that we deal with. And I'll tell you, I sat on a jury in a slam dunk buy and bust case. Okay. It was a slam dunk. This kid had a stack of money in his pocket. He was a drug dealer. He's in a drug dealer place. He was working a corner. They observed him. They had the Kell device. They had it. The paperwork was a little off. Paperwork was a little off. Why? They'd done like 20 that day. And the description of the kid, everything was a little off, okay? I sit in this jury. There's one guy who's a Columbia professor who says, I don't trust the cops. And we're like, well, listen, I don't want to say, you know, I'm just there doing the process. I'm not like the four person right there. And he refused to vote guilty on this kid. And we hung. And I knew the kid was guilty. And yeah, the paperwork was a little imperfect. It was. But it wasn't reversible error, in my opinion. It wasn't even a close call.
Right.
And then on the way home, I was on the train with the kid and a bunch of his buddies. He was released like right away when we were there. And, you know, they were all wearing their colors and that's what it was. And, you know, people can feel one way or around about it. But I mean, it's a really interesting process. It's a really interesting process.
That is so crazy that you actually rode the train with him on the way out. It's why these conversations are so great. Hey, I hope you'll come on the show again.
Ashley, I am always a call away. I'm so happy for your success, and I can't wait to see more and more of it. It really matters, and you're really doing what you're best at. You know, you got a lot of tools, but this, you know, you really are you really are a commodity in this. So I'm happy for you. I'll always come on if I have anything that you want. Let me know if you want. If you think I got it wrong, and you want to smack me around for sport, have me on.
Won't do that, but I will invite you back. And thank you for this. And the feeling is mutual. Welcome to the True Crime Space. So there you have it. My great thanks to Chris Cuomo for that great conversation. And I will invite him back on as well. Again, it's always really good to speak with people who are passionate about a particular topic, but also have the cred to back it up. He's a lawyer, so he gets it. He understands it. He knows the process, but he also knows the emotion and what happens in, you know, the messaging in the media and outside the media as well. So lots of fun. Thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate you listening, you watching, and remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.
Your vehicle doesn't just get you from here to there. It's a bridge to the people and places that matter most. It's how you show up for your family, your community, and everyone else that depends on you. That's why for 125 years, Firestone has been building tires with one thing in mind: to deliver products that are as reliable as you are. Firestone, always dependable since 1900.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.